This
is Mythical.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This is Dispatches from Myrtle Beach with Charles Neal and my son Link from Good Mythical Morning. How you doing, Link?
I'm doing good, Dad. How you doing today?
Well, doing pretty good. I got a little surprise for you to show you.
Oh. Let's see
before
it.
Before we even start catching up.
Woo. That is a weird award. Is that it? That is the official.
That's it. The official Weird Award from Signal Awards. 2022 Listener's Choice winner. Yeah.
Look at it.
Yeah. Dispatches from Myrtle Beach on the bottom of it.
It's bona fide, Dad. We are bona fide weird. We won the award. And where are you going to put that thing?
Nancy put it on the mantelpiece.
I didn't know.
Where everybody that comes in the house gets to look at it.
Oh, I didn't recall that you actually even had a mantelpiece. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Has anybody come over yet? You're like, oh, maybe if you want to take a look at my mantelpiece.
Well, I didn't even have to say anything. Ernie and Beth Bird come over, and the first thing they come walking in before they sit down on the couch, Beth come walking by and said, "What in the world is this?" And I said, "That's my award from Dispatches from Myrtle Beach that I told y'all about that we won."
Okay,
for the
yeah.
weird category. They were impressed.
Yeah. Are you starting to feel like people are only your friends because of your fame, Dad? Is that starting to happen? Just that they want to come over just so they can see your weird award?
No, I don't. I don't think that yet. No.
Don't let people use you for your success and your fame. You gotta know your worth. You deserve true friendship. I want that for you.
I know I can handle that, so you ain't got to worry about letting somebody take advantage of me.
Well, congrats on the award again. I'm so proud that we won this. I will say that I got a copy of it too.
Well, good.
And it's on our mantelpiece here at the office. We have like little mantles with awards, but it is the most special.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. Logan got one too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Where's yours?
At my desk at home.
Okay.
It's very heavy.
It is heavy, isn't it?
It's very heavy.
Yeah.
It's like 10 pounds.
Well, you know, you gotta know a man who can put up a good mantelpiece.
Well, thankfully we do.
I'll send him out to you.
Perfect.
It's time for another edition of Myrtle Beach Mailbag. We got a email from Molly Wilson.
Let's hear it.
And it says, "How do you find a blind man at a nude beach?"
I know that some blind people have these rods. That is this a joke about the stick, but also doubling as seeing the other stick? If he's,
yeah, it's kind of yeah, that kind of run. Yeah, it kind of runs together with that. Yeah, I reckon. I don't know if I quite understand the answer.
Oh, you don't understand the answer? Okay, fine. No. Sitting here talking, telling jokes about blind people you don't even know. You don't even know what a joke is. This is thin ice, Dad. This is thin ice. All right, but let's see where it lands.
And the answer to it is it isn't hard.
Oh, because he can't see.
Yeah.
You ever been on a nude beach? I feel like we've talked about this. I feel like this is something that comes. Yeah, something that comes up for us. Because Rhett tells me the story that he was looking through his granddad's photo albums, and one time he went on vacation with his wife at the time, but all the pictures that he took and had developed were of the topless women on the beach. Did you take any photos of any nudity of strangers?
Just in my mind. I just kept them all in my mind.
All right. Yeah. But see, if you're going to enter that environment, you got to play it cool. You can't be getting all worked up.
No, that ain't a good idea.
And that's not an easy thing to do. That's why I don't go on nude beaches. Chrissy and I went to the Wii Spa. It does remind me of that. On a date, like Tuesdays are our date nights. And we might go out for a nice dinner. But then I'd been to the Wii Spa with a few friends. I didn't know what this place was. It's a Korean spa, Korean-style spa. And this one in L.A., Dad, it's got like four levels to it. And you go into the bottom. You pay like $30. It's 24 hours. You can stay as long as you want. And then you split up. Men go one way, women go the other way. And you get naked and you go into the showers. Or you can go into the hot tub, steam room area, and all of that is just guys and gals separate. And then they issue you some shorts and a t-shirt, and you put that on. And so everybody, when they go up to the next level, is dressed the same. So it's an even playing field. And then the floor is heated and people are like laying on mats on the floor. There's like a place where you can buy Korean food, like a deli. And then there's all these hot rooms that you can go into, like different themed saunas. There's like a salt room where the whole inside of the room is lined with salt. And it's like 200 degrees in there. And then there's, why are you making a face? This isn't intriguing to you?
200 degrees.
Yeah, yeah, it's hot. You're supposed to sweat. Pretty hot.
You can't stay in there long.
And then there's another one that's a jade room. And then there's an ice room that's basically like sitting in a refrigerator. So you get the cold and then you get the hot. But my favorite room is the clay room. And you walk into this room and it's a ball pit. There are balls everywhere. And there's like clay, brown clay balls that are probably, you know, half an inch in diameter, maybe a little bigger. And you just walk around in these, and it might be 180, 200 degrees. And you lay down in these balls, and you can like cover, you can bury your feet in them. You can bury your whole body in these, like being in a McDonald's ball pit, but it's like super hot. And there's not like baby shit in the bottom of it, hopefully. And then you just sweat your tail off. And if you can give yourself over to it, it's very relaxing. Sound like your cup of tea?
It might be something I'd try. Yeah, I mean.
Well, next time you come out here, I might take you to this Wii Spa.
Okay.
We can just bury ourselves in the ball pit, have a good old time. Christy, she didn't like it as much as I did, because she was like, as much as we're sweating on these balls, wasn't everybody else before us also doing this? You know, it's like, I'm just wallowing around in it like a pig in mud. And she's like, you're wallowing around in everybody else's sweat, honey. Are you good with that? And, you know, I was like, I'm not thinking about it. Because if I start thinking about this type of stuff, I can't stop. And I don't want her to ruin the Wii Spa for me.
That's right. So
Yeah. We'll remember that next time you come out here. I'm going to take you to the clay pit.
Okay.
We'll be naked together. We don't care. I know you don't care.
No. No, I don't care.
You got another one?
I got another one from Olivia Hayes. It says, a woman in labor suddenly shouted, shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't, didn't, can't.
Shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't, didn't, can't. Shouldn't, wouldn't, didn't, can't. And what?
And then it says, the doctor looked at her husband and said, don't worry. These are just contractions.
Really? That's it. Yeah. They are shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't, didn't, can't. Don't worry, it's just contractions. Yeah. You get that one?
I think that's, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've seen women have contractions and some of the things they might say and come out of their mouth. So, yeah. It's,
let the women in labor say whatever they want to say, you know?
Oh, yeah.
As long as they're the ones doing the labor. I don't feel like I'm in a position to critique how they go about it. You know what I'm saying?
No, you just let them do it. Unless they got hold of my arm like I got, and I had to kind of grip my teeth because they're pulling all the hair out of my arm. But, you know, if they're hurting that bad, I handle a little pain too. So,
oh, the hairs have been pulled out of my arm. My follicles are giving birth to hairs over here. Poor me. But it's a grammar joke, Dad. Contractions.
Yeah.
You get the grammar part of it?
Yeah. Well, I was wondering if
okay.
It's
the apostrophe is the contraction part.
Okay. The apostrophe.
Yeah. Shouldn't is a contraction meaning the like,
well, that's what I
yeah,
see you're a little more educated than I am. I'm sorry, I didn't, you know, it's been a long time since I
contracted
remember all that grammar that I supposed to have learned. And
well, back when you were in school in 1970 something, it was called grammar school. I bet. Did you go to grammar school? I don't know why they called it that.
In the 60s, yeah.
Okay.
I went to finished high school because it was grammar school, middle school, and high school. And it was all in the same buildings, right beside of one another.
They didn't have contractions in the 60s, or it's been so long you didn't remember that's what they were called?
I know. They had contractions in the 60s, but, you know, I didn't remember.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's probably not worth remembering. It would have helped with that joke, though.
Yeah, it would have. But sometimes you just kind of have to let me float somewhere else and go on. Yeah. But I got another email from Liam J. And this one's pretty interesting. It says, what were your first impressions of Rhett and Link's videos when they first started making them?
Oh, good question. Yeah, I'm interested in this.
I think I'm trying, because it's been, 15 years?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so some of the things that y'all started doing and putting these videos out, and it was like, boy, where in the world do y'all get this stuff out of y'all's heads? Because y'all were kind of doing this y'allself and didn't have anybody else working for, and y'all were coming up with some stuff and doing a good job at it. But, you know, it makes you think, where in the world can this go to, and how can you do it? And then when y'all moved on up a little bit and started making these commercials. And then I remember you calling and telling me, said, well, I'm up here in the mountains and I'm doing a commercial for a biodegradable casket. Yeah. And I'm getting buried in it. And I was thinking, now you're getting buried in a biodegradable casket. I said, I ain't real sure that's real smart, but I reckon Red or somebody talked you into it, and you got in it. They did give you some oxygen, so if something happened with something, but...
Did I tell you that? Because I don't think they did that. I don't think I was given any oxygen.
I think the thing started giving in on you, and they had to dig you up and get you out of it.
This was the pilot episode of Commercial Kings, which, you know, then they picked it up, ordered it, and we moved out here to LA to make the show. But yeah, that was it. It was Bury Me Naturally is what it was called, the name of the company in Asheville. And yeah, if you're going to sell anything, you know, you got to do your research. You got to really get your hands dirty. Sometimes you get your whole body dirty, really testing out the product, testing out the service, so you know how to best promote it. And so it was a bit scary to be buried in what was nothing more than a cardboard box. It literally was a cardboard box. And that's why it kind of started caving in on itself whenever they really started burying me. But I couldn't have made a good commercial otherwise. Do you remember?
Oh, no.
Do you remember any of the videos before that? Because the way that internet video was working, it wasn't like you didn't have a phone where you could watch it. I mean, you had had like a computer at the house, but it's not like you were on it that often. I think that people were trying to figure out this internet video thing, and when word finally got back to Lillington that it was happening, then we started to get like the local paper talking about us. I think that's when it started to make more sense, because, you know, it's like we have engineering degrees, we worked for Campus Crusade, and then here we are having a third iteration of a career that's just the two of us in a basement goofing off. I mean, you were scratching your head a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, I think maybe I told you this. I said, well, if y'all doing something you like, because I've been basically self-employed all my life, and that's what y'all was doing, and I won't like some people that had skepticism about it, because, you know, if you don't try to do what you like to do and see how it works out, then I'd tell mama, your nana, I'd say, it ain't like they ain't got something to fall back on. They can go back and get a job somewhere with them engineering degrees. So
yeah,
let them sow them oats and see where it goes, and just leave them alone. Quit aggravating them about it. some of them was pretty dead set against you.
Well,
what y'all was.
Yeah. And I get it. It didn't make sense, but it meant a lot to have you take up for me and to say, hey, just let him sow his wild oats. I never thought about it in those terms, but hey, look, we're still having a wild oat of a time. It's worked out.
It worked out.
And you know, not doing what, if you're passionate about something and you have an opportunity and you don't go for it, well, I mean, the risk of regret is pretty high, you know? That's not a good feeling.
Hindsight, with everything that's happened with Joe and stuff, it worked out pretty good for you and Rhett, and your families and everybody else. So.
Yeah, we're doing great.
Yeah, so.
I made it out of that coffin.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
But I got another email from Brendan Dames. He says, I'm 28 years old and spent my whole adult life in Missouri. In the past year, I have left my frustrating job, gone through a tough breakup with a partner of 2 years. While these events have been draining, I am now excited
for
a new
adventure.
I am currently looking for a new job on the West and East Coast. He wants me and you to battle it out. And can you tell me the best things about living on each coast time zone?
Okay. Well,
hey, and listen, because you live on the West Coast now, you don't get to help with the East Coast. You just got to do the West Coast.
Oh, I'm going to represent the West Coast. That's me. Now, I guess I got to be specific to like Southern California. And you got to be more specific to like North Myrtle Beach. So we both got beaches. I've got beautiful coastlines, lots of cliffs. What about you, Dad? What's your beach got?
Hey, I got beautiful beaches with all kinds of wonderful places to stay at right on the beach. And then you can go out in your swimming trunks and get in the water and not freeze yourself to death from about May till November. So just come on down to North Myrtle Beach and, hey.
Jump in the water.
I don't know about the West Coast, but there's plenty of jobs on the East Coast where you can come out here and get a job and find a place to stay in and then be living on right here. And then if you want to learn how to shag dance, you can get up with me and I'll help you and show you how to start dancing down here.
Having
a good time.
You got to give me a chance to retort. You're piling it on thick. All right, so you got me on the water temperature. Water temperature sucks out here. I mean, you got to invest in a damn wetsuit to do anything. Anything, really. So you got me on that one. And then the bigness of the beaches, we ain't got no big beaches. But the cliffs are nice, as long as you don't fall off of them. And then you're right. There's not as many places to stay on the beach here. I mean, everybody's kind of gobbled up the real estate out here. It never rains, you know, that cliche. That's a big one. I mean, of course, it's been raining a lot.
It's been raining some this year out there.
So I guess I don't have you there. What else? The food, we got really good tacos. Fish tacos.
And we got really good all kinds of Southern barbecue down here where you can come and get it. And great coleslaw. And I mean, just,
I can be at the beach and then with less than an hour, I can be in the mountains. I mean, I could snowboard and surf in the same day, depending on the time of year. What you got?
And I can do that too. In about 4 hours, I can be at the mountains up around Beach Mountain and go up there and be snowboarding and snow skiing.
Yeah, but that's four hours is different than 1 hour. That doesn't make a difference. You're not going to get back in the same day.
I mean, if I'm going up my snowboard, now who in the hell is going to go and stay just for one day to do it? I'm going to plan to go up there and have a good time up there for 2 or 3 days.
All right. All right. You got me again. I'm not doing good at this. We have palm trees, but we don't have a lot of other trees. What you got?
As a matter of fact, we got a palm tree in the front yard of our house.
So, yeah, you do. And you got all the other types of trees too, I guess.
All other kind of beautiful trees. And yeah, I mean, it's pretty green grass growing, and don't have to worry about, if you're watering your lawn, whether they're going to cut your water off or not, and watering it, you just water it all you want to.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, we're highly regulated. And you said jobs. I think there's jobs out here.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Well, I imagine there's jobs. I'll agree with you. There's jobs on the East Coast and the West Coast.
But the cost of living, I don't know. That's a bit tough out here. It's kind of expensive.
Well, I'm not going to, because you made me pick North Myrtle Beach, I'm not going to tell Brendan that if he comes to right here at North Myrtle Beach, that it's the cheapest place in the world to stay at either. But, it's not as expensive as it is on the West Coast. But
all right, so maybe there's no way that the cost of living is equal. I'm going to have to give that one to you no matter what, but I appreciate you trying. I don't know. I think I haven't done much to help my cause. I absolutely love it out here. I do love all the outdoor activities. I love all the different parts of the state, all the things I can experience. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with some sort of something to sweep the table here because I'm behind.
What about like watching sports, the time zone? Do you like it better here?
I don't watch sports.
Well, for a broad audience.
I speak to an audience of one. My dad. All right, you gonna throw the sports argument? Logan's trying to give you the sports argument.
I think it's better here.
You think it's better here because
it's earlier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We watched like the Super Bowl at like right after lunch.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, I didn't have a problem with it. I set up and watched the U.S. Open. It was in Los Angeles, California this past weekend.
He's got this one too.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. The only other place I know to go is passive religious judgment. How are we looking over there, Dad?
Passive religious judgment.
Yeah, it can be a bit oppressive. That Bible belt can get kind of tight, make it hard to breathe sometimes.
Oh no, we don't have no trouble with that down here. People down here on the beach just kind of do. Some of them go to church, and some of them do stuff, and then
do stuff.
Other ones just live like they want to, like they do out there in Los Angeles. So, it ain't a big problem here either. I mean,
all right. So it's you do you, and you do whoever you want to do in Myrtle Beach.
Well, there's some people that does that. Yeah. So
all right.
I mean, I ain't saying I do that, but I mean,
I know you're spoken for, and I know you're not a judgmental person personally. But okay, so maybe I don't have you on that one. But people seem pretty laid back down there in Myrtle Beach, so. Brendan, I don't know. It seems like I'm sending you Dad's way. You win, Dad.
Well,
today. I'll be back. I'll be back when I have time to think about this.
Well, that's fine.
Because you would never move out here.
No. Now it's time for Grandkid of the Week. We hadn't done Lando. Sometimes when I think about Lando, he's to me probably in all my grandkids is special, but he is so special. So when you visit back and forth out here, and when he comes up to you and greets you and loves you and hugs you and looks at you and gives you that smile that he's got. And I mean, he is so, it's like you know it comes from the bottom of his heart, letting you know how much he has missed you and how glad he is to see you. And he's just so genuine about everything that he does to me. And you always know where you stand with Lando.
That's right.
Because he lets you know that with what he's emoting to you, that he's feeling it too, and he wants you to feel what he's feeling when he you know, whether or not he's giving you a hug or talking to you or sitting down and spending time with you. He's better at that than all the other grandkids, because
that's his special power. Yeah. It's like, like you're saying, every kid of mine and nieces and nephews too, it's like, it's so nice to see what makes each of them special. So it's not like a comparison thing, but yeah, the thing for Lando, you're exactly right, is that he's got such a big heart and he's able to take it and connect with the people that he cares about. And he cares so much. Like, he's so empathetic. So he can convey those emotions in just a few words. And he's really good at it. He's really good at being in touch with his emotions and conveying love to people. And I kind of feel like it's an encouragement for me to get better at it. You know, it's like, I see how he puts himself out there, and the people that he loves, they know how he feels about them. You're saying, it's like, well, that's something that inspires me, that kind of, I'm encouraged to do the same. It's like, can I put myself out there more to let people know how I feel, you know? So yeah, I totally agree. He's a special one.
And I've heard Christy talk about him a little bit, about things that goes on with him at school and other students and stuff, and how he kind of tries to bring them in because he feels like they've been left out. Stuff and tries to encourage them to. So, you know, it's just not what makes me proud of. It's just not what he does for us, but he's doing it for other people.
That's right.
At his age, but what he's doing. So Lando, you just keep up the good work with what you're doing, and it'll be really good to see you again the next time when we get together. And Granddaddy loves you for just the way you are. I'm telling you. Yeah, sure do.
Thank you, Dad. And you know what? I got something for you.
Okay.
Who needs Foley when you got you? Let's play that again.
Okay.
Okay, Dad, you remember how this goes. I give you a scenario and you give me the Foley for it. You give me the sound effects that would be used in the movie to accompany the visuals that I'm going to describe. Okay? And because you took me to see my first movie that I ever went to was The Temple of Doom, and now there's this new Indiana Jones movie, I thought we could go with like an Indiana Jones theme. So you ready for this? Okay. I'm gonna walk you through it, and then you can say things that an actor would say. You can make sound effects that would be part of the movie.
It's time for another edition of Who Needs Foley When You Have Me?
Okay, you're the star. You're Indiana Charles. And it's your first moment on screen. What do you say?
Watch out for what's going on. Oh my goodness. Oh, look at all them snakes. Oh.
Oh, you already did snakes? Oh, okay. So you saw a snake.
Yeah, we went down in a tunnel and you had to light, and whoosh, I had to whoosh, I lit a torch where I could see. And
you whooshed it. That's good. All right.
Going down in the tunnel.
All right, so you look down and you'd already seen one snake, but now you're seeing thousands of snakes. What does that sound like?
That's that.
There's a few cats in there too, I think.
Around.
Is there cats in the tunnel?
No, snakes can hiss.
I know, but it's not okay. All right, and now, so and Indiana Charles is trying to make his way to the far end of the tunnel across all of these hissing snakes, cats, and cockroaches.
And I'm running. I'm trying to get out, get to the light down at the end. In Indiana Charles, as I'm swinging on a vine now, and I'm getting up through there. Here I come to burst out in the open and to get away from all these snakes.
You think you're out here into the open, and you get up on the ledge, and then you go into this room, and it's totally pristine and peaceful. Except when you look up, what do you see?
Popcorn ceiling.
Your nemesis. It's Indiana Charles's nemesis. What is he going to do?
Oh, Lord, we got to scrape it off and get rid of it and do away with it so we can get out of here and fix it.
So what is Indiana Charles's mission? He's not looking for an artifact. I think he's what? He's just renovating this cave?
Yeah. Must be trying to get rid of all them snakes and
popcorn ceiling. So you're scraping the popcorn ceiling. And what does that sound like? Sounds like that cat again. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's removing the popcorn from the ceiling with a cat. And he dislodges something large. What is it?
Oh, it's a giant boulder coming through the ceiling.
Yes.
Oh, we got to go. And I'm running. Oh.
And what about your painter's cap? Because you can't lose that.
Oh yeah, I got my little hat, my little Gilligan hat. I ain't losing it. Where I can keep all that popcorn I was getting off and where I can keep seeing where I'm going. So
you're running from the boulder. And what do you sound like? What does it sound like? What are you saying?
We got to go. We got to keep up. We got to run. We got to run. We got to go faster and get by where the boulder don't run over. So here we go. We finally get away from the boulder.
Okay, so you make your way out and you get on the plane. The plane takes off. What does the plane sound like? That's actually really good. But you know what? The pilot just got shot by some sort of blow dart and you're at 5,000 feet. What are you going to do? There's no parachute.
Oh, no parachute? I'm going to have to get up there and see if I can land a plane, get it landed enough to...
So what do you say to all the other passengers?
Good luck.
Hold on.
We're going to crash. Hold on. So, and I get the plane down and we crash in and we ended up crashing in some water and we get a raft out and float in it and get everybody out and get them floating down the river trying to get away.
And then you look over to the right and on the shore there is the four-wheel drive golf cart that says Belch Life right on the side.
Oh, yeah, and we get, I get all the people out of the raft and we load them up and we get to, I make sure we get to Chalice and we go down to Fat Harold's and get in the club and we celebrate that we made it and I get a cold beer and put it in the chalice and toast everybody at perils and everything that we went through, and we made it and we lived. Yeah, we made it. We made it.
Indiana Charles drinking out of that chalice. I love it, Dad. Wow, that was quite an adventure.
Yeah, that was quite an adventure for this episode, but we're going to go ahead and wrap it up and get on out of here. It was fun having all y'all here with us today, and join us in 2 weeks for another, join us in a week for a mini dispatch.
Oh, yeah.
And if you got a joke, question, or comment you'd like to share with me, email me at ratherbeshaggin53@aol.com. So y'all have a great weekend, everybody, and keep listening, and we can't wait to spin your world again. And next time, we'll see what else we can get into. So it's been good talking to you, son.
Always been great, like always. Love you, too. Talk to you soon.